Thank you so much, Lemmy Beth. There's a lot of truth in those words. Welcome to the Better Life, Roseburg Seventh-day Adventist Church. What a privilege it is to be here at this time together. Has God been good to you this week? He's about to do something even better, because he promises us a double blessing on his Sabbath day. Amen? Let us bow our heads. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness, for your goodness. And today, you desire to do something new in our lives. I don't know what is on the shoulders burdening us this day, but you do. And you've promised to satisfy. You've promised to heal, to bind, and to bless. And so, Father, I ask that you'll lead us ever closer to our Savior, and that your Spirit may descend with great power. In Jesus' name, amen. In our journey through the book of Genesis, I don't see it up front. We have started, at least a few weeks ago. We were still in, Abraham. The story is no longer about Abraham. It's not even about Isaac, but it's juicy Jacob, if you ask me, because there are many different chapters in Jacob's life, for which today leads us on a journey. Genesis chapter 29. Hopefully you have your Bible with you. 29 verse 1 and on. Then Jacob went on his journey, the Bible says, and came into the land of the people of the east. And he looked, and behold, a well in the field, and lo, there were three flocks of sheep lying by it. For out of that well they watered the flocks, and a great stone was upon the well's mouth. And thither, that's a wonderful word, and thither were all the flocks gathered, and they rolled the stone from the well's mouth, and watered the sheep, and put the stone again upon the well's mouth in his place. Journey. You see, that's the Bible's way of kind of saying, yeah, Jacob's running for his life. He's on a journey. And if for some reason today you feel like you're running from something or someone, you are at the right place. The Bible says that he was heading towards the east, and the east is a good place to go. Why? Because we are told who's coming from the east. Jesus is coming from the east. And in fact, the reality that you and I are here today is because we're getting ready for that event. We're getting ready for Jesus' second coming. And the Bible says in these three verses something about a well. You see, this well would not only feed people, it would feed the animals. And the Bible talks about some flocks here. You see, you couldn't get to the water unless you moved the what? You got to move the stone on that's covering the opening of the well. A stone that you kind of couldn't do it by yourself, really. You kind of had to get some help with it. You had to use two hands and move with this stone together. This stone, I believe, is Jesus. Not just Jesus, but this, what's in it as well. You see, Jacob could have thought that he was running away for his safety. Safety from his persecutor, his brother Esau. He could have thought that his greatest need right now in his life was to find his mom's family, Laban. He could have thought that his greatest need was to find a spouse. He could have thought that his greatest need was X, Y, or Z. And he comes to realize that he's in front of his greatest need. What was that greatest need? It was the water. Jesus said He who drinks from this well will never thirst again. Are you thirsty? Do you have a need that's been occupying your mind from the moment you get up to the moment you put your pretty little head on the pillow? It's all you can think about, pray about. Do you have a need like that? I'd like to remind us, the water is here. Jesus is here. What else do we find in this verse? It talks to us about a gathering place. And for a New Yorker like me, that's Chinese. I read it and it just went over my head. The gathering place was the place where animals were to be fed. They gathered them so that they actually could eat. Though we may not be animals per se, but is this not the gathering place to eat? Absolutely. The question is, are you hungry? We only eat when we're hungry. Verse 4 and on, the Bible says, "And Jacob said unto them, My brethren, whence be ye? And they said, Of Haran are we. And he said unto them, Know ye Laban the son of Nahor? And they said, We know him. And he said unto them, Is he well? And they said, He is well. And behold, Rachel his daughter cometh with the sheep. And he said, Lo, it is yet high day, neither is it time that the cattle should be gathered together. Water ye the sheep, and go and feed them. And they said, We cannot until all the flocks be gathered together, until they roll a stone from the well's mouth. Then we water the sheep." Jacob, where are you from? And who's Laban? Do you know Laban? Is he alive? Is he well? And before you know it, Rachel comes around the block, and she's leading the sheep for what purpose? To feed the sheep. You see, in this story, Rachel, the woman, it's her job to go get the water to then feed the sheep. The church's job is to get the water and feed the sheep. Jacob tells them, it's the wrong time. Wrong time for what? You water the sheep first, and then you feed them. You see, we like time when it's to our favor. We like time when it's on our side. We like time when we don't have much of it, much less when time is against us. Did you know that today could be your last day in church? Today could be your last day. Today could be when God says it's time to rest. My question is, what are we doing with the time we have? That is a reality. Jacob's telling them about the time is the wrong time. Why? Because first you drink the water. First you give the sheep the water. And then you feed them. Then you eat. You see, some of us here are trying to eat the food first and then drink the water. No, you drink the water first and then you eat. That is the process that we are to follow. Jesus said, "He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." I must confess, Roseburg has very tasty water. No, I mean, when we were living back in the Bay Area, that was nasty tasting water. And I love the Bay Area. But the water here is much tastier. But you know what? Roseburg's water is not enough. I need a water that is sweeter than Roseburg water. I need a water that is more sustaining and satisfying than Roseburg water. This water is Jesus. What is drinking this water all about? It is about believing in Jesus. Every day is a day to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you haven't done it lately, why not do so today? Every day is a day to give your life to Jesus. Every day is a day to stay close to Jesus. Every day is a day to trust Him even more. Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work." This is the eating part. We try to do this eating stuff first when first we need to do the drinking. We must drink first, then we can eat. Believing is drinking the water, and eating is faithful obedience. Why? Because we drink before we eat. But let's get back to Jacob. Verse 9, "And while he yet spake with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she kept them. And it came to pass, when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, that Jacob went near and rolled the stone from the well's mouth." How convenient. And watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. And Jacob kissed Rachel and lifted up his voice and wept. And Jacob told Rachel that he was Rebekah's, that he was her father's brother, and that he was Rebekah's son. And she ran and told her father. So Jacob's minding his own business, and lo and behold, Rachel comes with the sheep. And Jacob sees two things. First, he sees Rachel. And what a sight that was for sore eyes. You see, Jacob remembered that verse that went something like this: "It's not good that man should be alone," and he liked that verse very much. And he wouldn't mind her company, since after all, she was Adventist. You see, the Bible tells us that we should not be unequally yoked. We should not be in a relationship with someone of a different faith. And just because someone says they're Adventist doesn't mean they're Adventist. We need to do our due diligence. What else did Jacob see? Oh, he saw something very, very encouraging. He sees Laban's sheep. You see, there's something else besides not having a woman that Jacob realized that he needed. And what was that? Dinero. Money. And sheep was the money for Jacob, of which he had nothing. He saw the sheep, and he realizes, this might just be my chance. This might be my golden opportunity to move forward in my life. And so, as he was minding his business and Rachel came with the sheep, Jacob makes his move. And this is particularly interesting, specifically because of how Isaac got his wife. How did Isaac get his wife? Oh, that's right. He waited on God. He prayed to God. He trusted God. But here you see Jacob in the driver's seat getting what he wanted based on his time, according to his thoughts. And what else? Jacob tells half the story. Jacob is moving full steam ahead, and he doesn't really know her. And guess what? It's mutual. She really doesn't know him, because if she knew that he was running away from his brother who's trying to kill him, I have a hunch she would have said, no thanks. Jacob doesn't tell her the mess he's in until a little later. You see, sometimes we leave one mess only to jump into another mess until we give God an opportunity. Verse 13. And it came to pass when Laban heard the tidings of Jacob, his sister's son, that he ran to meet him and embraced him and kissed him and brought him to his house. And he told Laban all these things. And Laban said to him, surely thou art my bone and my flesh. And he abode with him the space of a month. And Laban said unto Jacob, because thou art my brother, shouldest thou therefore serve me for naught? Tell me what shall be thy wages. And Laban had two daughters, and the name of the elder was Leah. And the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. And Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. And Laban said, it is better that I give her to thee than that I should give her to another man. Abide with me. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love that he had to her. Laban says something that is life-changing. Laban says, your family, you're staying with us. Although Laban had his issues, which we'll talk about a little later, I think this is an element that our church can grow in a little. Your family, you're staying with us. Why do so many young people and not so young get wrapped up in the wrong crowd? Because at home, home wasn't family. And they couldn't wait to leave that group. They did have a family. Unfortunately, they weren't embraced. And I don't know about you, but is this not the family of God? Should not we embrace people? Even if they're different from us? I wonder, what would happen if we embraced people more? If we said, you know what? Let's walk together through this journey called life. How things would change. The Bible says, well, actually, he meets and greets Laban. Laban embraces Jacob, and they decide to make a deal. What was the deal? Very simple. 7 years for Rachel. And the story continues, verse 21. And Jacob said unto Laban, give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go in unto her. And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. And it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah his daughter and brought her to him. And he went in unto her. And Laban gave unto his daughter Leah Zilpah, his maid, for an handmaid. And it came to pass that in the morning, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, what is it thou hast done unto me? Did I not serve thee for Rachel? Wherefore hast thou beguiled me? And Laban said, it must not be so done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. Fulfill her week, and we will give thee this also for the service which thou shalt serve with me seven other years. And Jacob did so and fulfilled her week, and he gave him Rachel, his daughter, to wife also. And Laban gave to Rachel his daughter Bilhah, his handmaid, to be her maid. And he went in also unto Rachel, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah, and served him yet 7 other years. Jacob says, I've paid my dues, give me my wife. This is huge. Why? Because Jacob realizes he can't have her until they're married. AKA, sexual intimacy is reserved for marriage. Amen? Laban throws the wedding feast. And then Laban commands Leah to be with Jacob. It's almost reminiscent of when Rebecca told Jacob to lie to Isaac, his dad. Leah, like Jacob, goes along for the ride. You see, as much as we love our family, not everything our family tells us is right and good. Even if they do tell us some right and good things. How do we know what is right and good? By the Word of God. If we're trying to make our family and people happy, and in the process making God happy, only bad things will come about. Lo and behold, we see the morning after. I paid the price, Laban. You didn't deliver me the goods. Laban replies, we don't keep the younger daughter first before the eldest daughter. I mean, Jacob couldn't tell who was who. And how Jacob didn't know that it wasn't Rachel and it was Leah? Well, I think we'll find that answer out when we get to heaven. But the feast continues and it concludes, and 7 days later, he gets Rachel too. Interesting. 7 years of work for Leah and 7 years of work for Rachel. Did he get what he wanted after the first 7 years? No. Why? Because he ended up with who? Leah. He works another 7 years, and does he get what he wanted? Yeah, he got Rachel. But now he realized he had another need, an even greater need, because now he had a bigger problem. What did he want now? Peace. You laugh, but it's true. Have you been working for something really hard and not getting it? Have you been trying to find peace and still not finding it? Working long hours, paying lots of money, trying to get this, and in the end, you end up with emptiness? I'm not knocking the fact that Jacob got married. He was married all right, and then some. But what he didn't have was peace. Jesus said, "My peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." And lo and behold, two sisters that were sisters now become enemies. Just like that. Verse 31. And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. And Leah conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Reuben, for she said, "Surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction. Now therefore my husband will love me." And she conceived again and bare a son, and said, "Because the Lord hath heard that I was hated, he hath therefore given me this son also." And she called his name Simeon. And she conceived again and bare a son, and said, "Now this time will my husband be joined unto me, because I have borne him three sons." Therefore was his name called Levi. And she conceived again and bare a son, and she said, "Now will I praise the Lord." And therefore she called his name Judah and left bearing. Interesting. Leah is hated while Rachel's barren. Leah gives birth to Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah. You see, Leah, she's got the kids. But you want to know what else Leah has? She has the pain. What pain? "He don't love me." That pain. Leah's kids, who were they? Reuben? What's his name? "Oh, he might love me now." That's his name. Simeon, "Jesus heard I was hated. How would you like to be called that? Levi, he'll be with me now. And Judah, I'll praise the Lord. This is what their names meant. You see, Leah has her own journey of faith as well, where she finally starts to praise the Lord. Leah has the four kids, and all was well in Laban town. Or was it not? Verse 1. And when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, give me children, or I die. Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel, and he said, am I in God's stead who hath withheld from thee the fruit of the womb? Rachel envies the hated one, Leah. It's amazing what envy can do. In fact, it's almost a form of coveting, if you ask me. Wanting something that somebody else has, and the last time I checked, God calls that sin. Rachel wants to die if she doesn't have kids. You see, love wasn't enough for Rachel. Hated Leah had issues. But Rachel is loved, but she just can't have any kids. And Jacob is wise enough to recognize that God can either give or God can take away. And whether it's the giving or it's the taking away, God is right in doing it. Has God given you something lately? Some of us have. And if so, praise the Lord. We like those moments. But has God taken something away from you lately? Can we still say praise the Lord? Is God still right in doing that? Yes, he is. Verse 3 and on, the Bible says, and she said, behold, my maid Bilhah, go in unto her, and she shall bear upon my knees, that I may also have children by her. And she gave him Bilhah, her handmaid, to wife, and Jacob went in unto her. And Bilhah conceived and bare Jacob a son. And Rachel said, God hath judged me, and hath also heard my voice, and hath given me a son. Therefore called she his name Dan. And Bilhah, Rachel's maid, conceived again and bare Jacob a second son. And Rachel said, with great wrestling have I wrestled with my sister, and I have prevailed. And she called his name Naphtali. Interesting. A novel idea. I can't have kids, but let me try to fix this problem all by myself. And she tells Jacob to marry who? Bilhah. Lovely. This makes sense. Not really. Was this sin that Jacob agreed to? Yes, it was. Just ask Abraham. We think sin just kind of creeps into our lives and, oh, it happened. No. Sin doesn't work that way. Sin is a conscious decision that we choose. The devil, he tempts. The devil, he suggests. But ultimately, we make that decision. And our friend Jacob, oh, he made that decision here. Jacob could have said, I disagree. But he was so afraid of hurting Rachel's feelings, of whom he loved so much. And it kind of sounds a little bit like Adam in the garden, afraid of telling Eve no, because he knew that he would lose her. Bilhah's kids? Interesting. Dan. What does Dan mean? God judged me, heard my voice, and answered. Naphtali, I've wrestled with my sister and prevailed. WWE. When Leah, verse 9, saw that she had left bearing, she took Zilpah, her maid and gave her Jacob to wife. And Zilpah, Leah's maid, bare Jacob a son. And Leah said, a troop cometh, and she called his name Gad. And Zilpah, Leah's maid, bare Jacob a second son. And Leah said, happy am I, for the daughters will call me blessed. And she called his name Asher. This is very interesting. Rachel wasn't the only envious one. So was Leah. And, oh, did you hear that? It's more wedding bells. It's wedding season over at Laban Town. Jacob could have stopped and said, this does not make God happy. This didn't make Rachel happy, and I sure ain't happy. So how am I going to marry Zilpah, Leah's maid? But unfortunately, sometimes it takes us a little longer to learn from our mistakes. Zilpah's kids, what are their names? Gad. A troop is coming. That sounds like war. And Asher, happy because she'll be called blessed. The plot thickens. Verse 14. And Reuben went in the days of wheat harvest and found mandrakes in the field and brought them unto his mother Leah. Then Rachel said to Leah, give me, I pray thee, of thy son's mandrakes. And she said unto her, is it a small matter that thou hast taken my husband? And wouldest thou take away my son's mandrakes also? And Rachel said, therefore shall he lie with thee tonight for thy son's mandrakes. And Jacob came out of the field in the evening, and Leah went out to meet him and said, thou must come in to me, for surely I have hired thee with my son's mandrakes. And he lay with her that night, and God hearkened unto Leah. And she conceived and bare Jacob the fifth son. And Leah said, God hath given me my hire because I have given my maiden to my husband. And she called his name Issachar. And Leah conceived again and bare Jacob the sixth son. And Leah said, God hath endued me with a good dowry. Now will my husband dwell with me because I have borne him six sons. And she called his name Zebulun. And afterwards she bare a daughter and called her name Dina. Interesting. The Bible says that Jacob chooses to live with Rachel. Even if he married Leah first, he doesn't live with Leah. He lives with Rachel, the one who he loves. Even if she has no children, he's the one that he lives with. And since this is the case, Leah feels abandoned, even if she did give Jacob kids. Reuben's mandrakes. What is that all about? We are told that they grow in Palestine, kind of like a potato, and are quite the aphrodisiac, so they say. Why would Leah want to sell Reuben's mandrakes to Rachel? Because she wasn't going to get them for free? Because she needed the money? No. So that she can get her husband back. And Rachel wanted the mandrakes. Why? Because since they were an aphrodisiac, maybe that would bring a change about in her womb. So what does she do? She prostitutes her husband. That's what she does. And what do we get? More babies. More of Leah's kids. What are their names? Oh, really, really good names. Issachar, my wages for giving my maid to my husband. That's his name. There's much more derogatory terms for that process. But that's Issachar. Other son? Zebulun, this is my reward, and my husband will treat me with respect. And last but not least, Dina, the youngest one in curls, because the Bible doesn't give her her name and what it means. That is Leah's kids. The story is almost finishing. Verse 22 and on. And God remembered who? Rachel. And God hearkened to her and opened her womb, and she conceived and bare a son and said, God hath taken away my reproach. And she called his name Joseph, and said, "The Lord shall add to me another son." God remembers Rachel. Did God forget Rachel? We say no, and we answer that very quickly. But babies weren't popping out of her womb. They were happening all over the place, just not at Rachel's place. But maybe you could be feeling as if maybe God has forgotten you. Maybe it's not the childbearing that you've been praying about. Or maybe it could be. Maybe you've been waiting for something significant to happen in your life, and you've been discouraged as you've been praying, but yet nothing's been changing. Rachel ends up pregnant. Could Rachel be the only one that God remembers? Or could God remember you too? Does God remember you? Does God remember me? Amen. You see, this wasn't the only remembering that needed to happen. This kind of remembering might even be needed today. You see, sometimes God allows things not to come our way so that we may actually do something. What is that something? Remember him. Or do we just pray to him when we need something? Sometimes as a church, the only thing we can be worried about is having babies. It's called baptism. And in the process, lose sight of the reproductive church growth processes that are required so that growth can happen. What is it called? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Last but not least, Rachel's faith grows. How do we know that Rachel's faith grows? She says, if God can give me one son, he's going to give me another one. And that, my friends, is called faith. Rachel's son, what's his name? Oh, that's right. We like that story. Joseph. God has taken away my reproach. The last part of the story, I'll summarize. Jacob tells Laban he's leaving. Laban's not crazy about that idea. Laban gets all he can out of Jacob, and Jacob does some of the similar stuff with Laban. And last but not least, God prospers Jacob with abundance. But here's the point to this morning's message. These are Jacob's sons. He might love me now. Jesus heard I was hated. He'll finally be with me. I'll praise the Lord. God judged me and heard my voice and answered. I've wrestled with my sister and prevailed. A troop is coming. Happy because she'll be called. Blessed. My wages for giving my maid to my husband. My reward and my husband will treat me with respect. And God has taken away my reproach. Do you see what's on that screen? This is Jacob's family. With all the drama with Rachel and Leah, much less with the names that they're called and the drama that these boys are going to be bringing about in future chapters that we'll be reading about, I can only find one word to describe this family. It's a mess. You laugh because it's true. But here's what I want you to take away this morning. God takes Jacob's mess and he turns it into a church. We may not have only gotten ourselves into a mess, but our lives may seem like a huge mess. If God not only loved Jacob and his children who were a mess, if God not only loved his wives who were in a mess and wanting him to get into more messes, then maybe, just maybe, God loves you. Why did God love these people? So that he might use our messy lives. That he might use our messy, transformed lives so that we can lead others to the only one who can fix it. What do we call this? A miracle. If God loved Jacob after all his mistakes, then maybe God can love us after all our mistakes too. But you want to know where it starts? We got to drink the water. We got to believe in Jesus. We got to trust in Jesus. We got to spend time with Jesus. And then we got to eat. We got to do his will. You see, the mess that Jacob got himself into, God made into a church. And some centuries later, the mess that a woman with five husbands got into, that Jesus spoke to at this same well, God changed a city. My question is, what can God do in your life now? I believe that God wants to change your mess and to change my mess so that he may change this city. If God used a mess to build a church, then maybe he wants to use you to build this church as well. And it all starts because we're glad that indeed he still loves me. Are you ready for God to change your life into a walking miracle? Then drink and eat, for then the changes will come. Let us stand as we sing our closing hymn. Thank you, Father, that you're still in the business of transforming lives. And today, we want to give you permission to transform our lives. I don't know what we've been running from or working for and yet coming up empty and having no peace, but today we want to drink of the fountain of which in Him is life abundance. Today, we not only want that water to refresh us, we want trusting you and walking with you to transform us so that others may want to know you too. Thank you, Father, because in this place are many people that will change this city. So, Father, have your way right now. Continue the work that you started long ago, and may people see Jesus in us and say, I want that too. Move us, O Lord, as we prepare to meet you in glory. In Jesus' name, amen.